All right, well, good morning. I've enjoyed the lesson so far. And so we're going to talk about Daniel. And you may want to turn over to Daniel chapter 6, because we're going to kind of just go through that. Daniel chapter 6, primarily. We'll go through first 28 verses, which is the whole chapter. So most of us are familiar with the account of Daniel. I'm always careful to say the story because it makes it feel like it's not true, and it's just in today's world, people don't believe so much about the Bible anyway. But the account of Daniel and in the lion's den in particular. But before we get there, we think about the world, we think about the changing times. And have you ever really thought, it's hard, might be easier for Jody or for those of us who have been in other parts of the country, but have you ever really thought, what would you do if it was illegal to worship? It's really hard for Americans to get that concept of what it would really be like. And I remember I've actually worshiped in countries where it's illegal. And I can tell you, it's a different feeling. And you think about, how loud do I really want to sing? Are people going to hear us? Can we really? And it's a different feeling that here we just never has to enter our mind that we can just worship freely. But Daniel, as we know, Daniel faced that. And we're going to look at that, which goes right along with a lot of the lessons that we've already heard around courage and having courage and commitment and standing for what you believe in. Does anyone know what Daniel's name means? I actually had forgotten what it meant. Does anybody know what it means? Or God is my judge. So, which kind of fits Daniel, right? We, as you go through life, you kind of figure out as you get older, and I just had another birthday a couple weeks ago. And as you get older, you start to try to figure out, or you do figure out, kind of who's running your life. What beat are you really marching to? And a lot of times we march to things in the world, we march to friends. We're in early, my son's 19, and sometimes he marches to things that I wouldn't march to, and but generally we all kind of, find our way and find what's important to us. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, there was a scenario there where Daniel had an opportunity to eat of the king's food. And we learn in Daniel 1, chapter 8, what does it tell us there? Daniel would not do what? Yeah, he purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself. And, whether it's with food or whether it's, but when you do it sometimes on certain things and you kind of have that principle, it gets easier to do it. It's easier, it doesn't mean it's easy, on things that are really important. Right? So if you kind of lie and get used to lying a little bit on kind of this stuff, then when you're put under a lot of pressure on something that's more important, you might be more tempted to lie, right? But Daniel is somebody who we learn early, whether it's his diet, whether it's his commitment, he knows who he is, right? God is my judge. I'm going to stand before God, and God is my judge. And that's what drives his thinking. And it's easy today, at least for me, to be distracted There is so much information coming in. There are so many people trying to influence your mind. So many, you know, it. My dad would still tell me, he'll be here this week. He's coming. He's 80 and a half. You know, and he would tell me that his years in the 50s and all, he goes, Patrick, he goes, I honestly believe I lived in the best time. You know, there weren't as many distractions, and there were relationships, and people stopped by people's homes, and you could leave your houses unlocked, and you could, you know, through all the different things. And there's probably, there's a lot of truth to that, you know, in many ways. And, of course, the technology's great that we have, but with every strength can come a weakness. So the technology's great. I'll tell you, when we go on vacation, I love not having to go to the library like you used to do and try to map out and get a book or buy a book somewhere and learn all of the places that you're going to go and try to map out your vacation. And you can do it on your phone. You don't have to go anywhere. You can learn everything about it. You can learn the best restaurants. You can hit an app, and it even tells you how to drive there. And if there's an accident, it'll reroute you and tell you the fastest way. I mean, technology is amazing. But with that also comes some other things, right? There's a lot of other stuff that easily comes in to our purview. So we have to know who we are. And one of the reasons that Daniel was so successful is that he was a man of deep faith and purity. And he didn't compromise to advance his career or to put himself in a better position. And how tempting can it be, you know, sometimes for us to compromise our faith, compromise our thinking, compromise our positions, maybe to advance something else, right, or to advance careers. So let's look at Daniel 6. And if you turn to Daniel 6, if we look at the first 9 verses, only because I'm on the mic here, it's recording, I'll go ahead and read these first 9 verses. So it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And those are basically local governors, local leaders under the governors. And over these, 3 governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because of an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, we shall not find any charge against Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom. Did you catch that? All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the satraps, the counselors, and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Okay, so let's take a look at this. In the first verse or so, first 2 to 3 verses, What position did Daniel have? Verse 2. So what was Daniel? He was a governor. And how many governors were there in the kingdom? So there were three. So he was one of three. Right, so he's one of three. And there's a lot of other men in the government. And so he's a governor, and he has lots of men, you know, under him in the government. And then in verse 3, what kind of a worker was Daniel? How was he thought of? It's an excellent spirit. It says, good attitude. Then this Daniel, he did what? How was he compared to his co-workers? He was preferred. He distinguished himself. Now, most of us have worked in the workplace. Sometimes when people distinguish themselves, or maybe you've distinguished yourself, it's not always easy being at the top, is it? And why is that? People get jealous. You have to make hard decisions. Sometimes you make decisions that aren't popular. But Daniel was doing a great job because an excellent spirit was in him. What do you think? What does that mean to you? An excellent spirit was in him. Okay, he had purpose. He was intent on doing the job well. Okay, so he aligned himself with God. And typically, you know, a lot of things, when you're in leadership, we do all kinds of leadership training, and people are making millions of dollars on flying people around to learn how to be a leader and a good leader. And, you know, one of the best trainings you can have in being a great leader is being a Christian. Right? You think about the principles that are taught. It's about now the end thing is, you know, being a servant leader. You know, they talk about being a servant leader, that being a leader in the organization isn't necessarily being this big, powerful person and you're, you know, dictating all of this stuff, but you're there to support others to be their best. You're there to remove barriers. You're there to encourage people. You're there to give them feedback when they need it. Well, you know, to be kind, to be motivating. Well, those are all Christian attributes. Right? So it isn't a surprise to me that a man who's close to God doesn't do well. Right? And David was close to God, and he had the Spirit of God in that way. And so the king was thinking about what? Because he was such a good guy. Hey, maybe I can just restructure here. Yeah, maybe I only need one guy, or maybe I just put him over everybody, get another governor and just make him over the other three. And we know, if you've ever worked in corporate world, things can get competitive in a hurry. And we see it today that when things get competitive, or people who want an opportunity, or I want the role, or I want... it can drive some pretty unbecoming behavior among human beings. And that's kind of what we see here, right? So in verse 4, what do we learn in verse 4? So they're trying to find fault in him. And were they able to, they weren't really able, right, in verse 4? So in verse 4, they're like, we can't find a charge or fault. Now you think about that. I'll tell you, anybody who knows me for, you know, a month, I mean, you're going to know I'm not perfect. It is not going to be hard to find something that, I mean, I'm not perfect. I try, I work really hard. I know what my faults are usually. And, I've gotten better on a lot of them, but I mean, I'm not perfect. And so to think that he's got all these men who are actually looking for something and they can't find anything, it's pretty impressive. And that's pretty impressive. But to Trevor's point, verse 5, what conclusion they come to? We've got nothing, but unless we can figure out a way around his God. All right? So what do they come up with here in verse 6? So they come up and they say, now think about this. So these governors and satraps throng before the king and said thus to him, what do they say? Yeah. King Darius, live forever. All right, live forever. I don't know. We have a little, just like we have a hard time thinking about being persecuted for worship. It's kind of hard for us to really think about a king, like living under, like a monarchy kind of a scenario. And where people literally, they lost their heads, right? We saw that just in Elijah, you get Jezebel, you got all this. I mean, this is like serious consequences. Whatever the king says goes. You look at North Korea right now, right? I mean, that's a scary place to live. These people are starving to death, but they know they have to act like they're all happy, and they know that they all have to, they have pictures of them playing volleyball and having a great time and doing, they're like starving. Because they know if they don't, this guy's killing his brothers, he's killing his nephews, he's killing, he's beheading people, without a thought. So, hey, King Darius, live forever. And as a human and as a leader, all that vanity, all that kind of, wow, I'm somebody. People and leaders, actually, we lose perspective sometimes, or we can lose perspective that we actually start to believe this stuff, right? Even at work, you can kind of see people kind of schmoozing up a little bit to the boss, right? You see that and how they try to, tell them how good they are and how great they are. And as humans, we fall into that because we kind of want to be great, right? In our own, Lord, tell us, who's going to sit on your right hand and your left hand? Right? Is it me? Am I going to be up there? Am I going to be with you? We're kind of buds here, aren't we? It's not mine to give. Okay. So that's the human nature. And in verse 7, then he goes, and they're saying to Darius, hey, we've done kind of a survey here. And what was the conclusion of this in verse 7? How many of the governors, because he says, there's how many governors do we know of? There's three, and what are they telling them? All of the governors, what, have come to kind of a conclusion that they want to make this decree. All of them. Is that true? I don't think they asked Daniel about this. So they're lying. Right? So they go to the king, they lie, and what is the decree? Verse 7. That whoever petitions, who? Anybody but him. So whether it's a god or man, for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. I think it's interesting that they even have a den of lions. That's, again, that's another thing. We just kind of read it, and it's like, well, they have a... Yeah. So, this is... The fact that he has a den of lions gets back to the point that this den was used... Right, like whether it's a guillotine or whether it's a firing squad or whether it's a whatever, people know. These lions knew. They weren't like the Detroit Lions. right? And I'm from Detroit. I can say that, okay? These lions have experience. I mean, they know how to play. Okay? He knew Daniel. Well, and we'll get to that in verse 14. Because in verse 14, I think the point you're very making, had he thought about it, like Nebuchadnezzar, right? And yeah, which shows how. So we go ahead and he did it, right? So therefore, King Darius 9 signed the decree. Let's look at verses 10 through 17. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, did you catch that? So Daniel knew about this, like after it was signed. And so this wasn't like he didn't know. So when he knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Why, just out of spite of the decree? As was his custom since early days. This was his practice. And that's how they knew that this would be a problem for Daniel. Right. And so in verse 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? See how they're kind of reminding him? Didn't you do that? Didn't you sign up for that? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Right? So, when you make a decree, it can't be changed. It is what it is. So they answered and said before the king, verse 13. Now, isn't it interesting how this is positioned? That Daniel, right? Not Daniel, that Daniel. It's almost like Adam. What did he say to God? That woman that you gave to me, right? That Daniel, who is one of the captives, that terrible Daniel, from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Not only do we see him where he did some, he's doing it three times a day, O king. And in verse 14, and the king, when he heard these words, what? Was greatly displeased with himself. The light bulb went off. Knew he'd been tricked, right? He was displeased with himself. And at that moment, what did he do? From that moment, how can I save this guy? What have I done? Right? What have I done? Have you ever regretted a decision that you've made? What time does this session go to? Okay, just like it. And I'm not going to save any of my thinking, so just when it comes up, I'm going to do it because we don't have a lot of time. But, you know, later, we'll see. that the king believes so much in Daniel's God, what if the king just said, I'm not given the command? Are they going to throw him in the lion's den? Does he not believe that if Daniel's God could save him, which we'll see in a moment, couldn't Daniel's God save me if I stand up for his guy? Right? I made a mistake. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
I agree with her 100%.
He's still a king. He's a king. And so he's, you know, he's king. When you're king, it's kind of hard to all of a sudden in a moment when you realize to not be king, right? Because this had to be carried out immediately by the sunset, right? This needed to, this, so it wasn't like he had a couple of weeks to figure out how to make this happen or someone's on death row for 20 years, right? That's not how it works. I mean, this is something happens, boom, you're in the lion's den, okay? So in verse 14, and the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Can you imagine him pulling people together and pulling his governors together and the other people and saying, do we really have, you know, is this really, I mean, what does trying to deliver him mean look like? He's trying to convince people, probably, right? Yeah, that this isn't. But in verse 15, then these men approached the king. So what men? The men that he was trying to convince. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. Do we need to remind you, O king? So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel. Now think about the king and Daniel coming in, right? You know he's feeling terrible. Much less Daniel, right? Daniel's facing the lion's den. But look at the king. But the king spoke, verse 16, saying to Daniel what? What did the king tell Daniel? Your God who you what? Continually serve, or serve continually, he will deliver you. Even by saying that, right, the king's a little bit saying, I can't deliver you. I want to deliver you. I've tried to deliver you. But he will deliver you. He will deliver you. And to your point, Jody, in the earlier around Elijah and stuff, was when he prayed to God and said that they may know that you are God. Right? Light this thing on fire. And still here's another scenario where the people will know. He's putting it out there, whether he realizes it or not, the king is, and it's kind of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? That this is an opportunity for everyone to know that Lord Jehovah, that He is God. It's the same type of thing, that He is God. So here they go. They cast him into the den, verse 16. Verse 17, what do? A stone comes at the mouth of the den, and the king seals it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords. So this is not going to be broken, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. So he's in the den. Now look in verse 18. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. Have you just ever been in a place in your life where you've regretted a decision? You know you're powerless to change it. I can't change it, but maybe God can. And you know you are so powerless in this situation that you can only turn to God. Well, because think of it, Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den. To your point, it's kind of like, you know, your dog. Right? When they hear the microwave thing go off or whatever, I mean, they get trained pretty quick. When they hear some commotion going and some chains rattling and a human coming in and they've got their sense, it doesn't take them long to know what's going on. It's time to eat. So my guess is that really quickly, Daniel wasn't in that lion's den very long and that angel was there, right? And Daniel knew it, and Daniel knew he was okay almost immediately. Right? He knows he's all right. I mean, almost immediately after being put into the den. The sooner he could get into the den, the better for him, because all the anxiety of wondering what's going to happen. As soon as he gets in there, he knows God's got me covered. He's good. But the king, to your point, is in torment. All night, fasting, not sleeping, no musicians, nothing positive, and also his sleep went from him, verse 18. Then the king arose very early in the morning, because he was awake, right? He gets up first thing in the morning, and did he go to Starbucks and then go stroll through the garden and see what's going on and if his flowers look nice? He makes haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, what did he do? He cried out how? With a troubled voice, a lamenting voice. Just think of the anguish this king is in. And think about the impact that Daniel has had on this king's life for him to feel this way about Daniel. And he cries out, right, with a lamenting voice. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, the servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? And what does he hear back? O king, live forever. The same words that the other said. Which I was going to touch on. When you think about the characteristics of David, think about forgiveness. I mean, it's going to be like, I mean, think about it. If you're Daniel, couldn't you be thinking in your head, King, I mean, do you not know me? When they came to you and said, that all governors, like how many governors do you have? You don't have to think about 200 of them. There's three. And I'm not there. I'm not present in this conversation. Did your mind, did it not cross your mind? Do you not know me at all? Have you never seen me pray? Yeah, he wasn't trying to get Daniel. But there's a lot of reasons why Daniel could be upset with the king. Right? Wouldn't we be? Should have been. And that's what we do. Right? We don't think through the big picture. And you know, that's why we need Christ. The living God. Any God, because it was any God or any man. Yeah. I can't deliver you, but I believe your God can. And then when he came the next morning and he hears, "O King, live forever." Does that not, which we learn here in verses 26 and 27, you know, his complete change of heart around God, which we'll get to in a minute. But look at verse 21. "O King, live forever." Verse 22. "My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, so that they have not hurt me." Why? "Because I was found innocent before him. And also, O King, I have done no wrong before you." So he hasn't done any wrong before God. "I haven't done any wrong before you either, O King." So what was the king's reaction? How was he feeling at this point? Happy, verse 23. "Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den." Right? He served his, didn't say he had to be killed, it just said he had to be thrown into the lion's den. And he was thrown into the lion's den all night. Yeah. Thanks for that visual. So, and so, "And no injury whatsoever was found on him, because he believed in his God." Now, think about this. Would you want to be in a den of lions who just couldn't use their mouths? Those things, you ever see a cat play with a mouse? I mean, those things could shred you and play with you with their paw. I mean, the nails. Just because they can't bite you and eat you, he didn't like tie him up. The angel didn't tie him up or declaw him or any of that stuff. But he completely protected Daniel. Right? Not an injury at all. They still could have killed him easily. But no injury, because he believed in his God. Now look in verse 24. So he goes on, "And the king gave the command that they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den." I mean, that is ferocious. Okay, ferocious. How much time do I have? Well, that's the end. We don't get a warning bell. Okay, I'm used to the warning. Okay, verses 26 and 27. This is where now he makes a decree about the God of Daniel, that he is the living God. So now he did make a decree all about himself. Now he's making a decree about God. But the real point here, which I was going to do in the last 5 minutes that I don't have, you know, think about the characteristics of Daniel. Some we've already talked about in some of these others, right? Courage, the value of purity, putting God first over popularity, forgiveness, you know, a strong prayer life, and living a life that leads others to God. And purposing in your heart, right? You have to make the decision before the temptation comes. And that's not always easy to do. But you have to do that and be aligned with God. Thanks for your participation.